listening to County Conversations, a podcast brought to you by the New York State Association of Counties. Today's episode features a conversation between NYSAC's Deputy Director Mark Levine and Herman Geist, a World War II veteran, former Westchester County legislator, and NYSAC parliamentarian. They will reflect on Herman's military service and the anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941. Herman was born in April of 1925 and enlisted as a draftee in August of 1943. His company was the first U.S. Army unit that entered Domažlice in the Czech Republic and helped to liberate the city. At the end of the war, he was promoted to the rank of first lieutenant, and after the war, he graduated from the New York University School of Law and later became the first chairman of the Westchester County Board of Legislators.
Good morning. My name is Mark Levine, and I'm the Deputy Director of the New York State Association of Counties, and I am here with Herman Geist. Herman Geist is the NYSAC parliamentarian, a longtime friend of NYSAC, a veteran of World War II, and he's an active member of the NYSAC Board of Directors. Welcome, Herman. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Today is Pearl Harbor Day, and we thought that this would be a great opportunity to connect with Herman to talk about his experience in World War II. Herman, can you tell us where you were on December 7th, 1941?
I was still in high school, Mark. I didn't graduate high school till June of 1942. At the age of 17, but when Pearl Harbor happened, our whole world changed. And I'll never forget, because they didn't cancel the Giants football game that day. I forgot who won, but I remember they didn't cancel the football game on Pearl Harbor Day. Of course, Barbara and I have visited the Arizona Memorial at Pearl Harbor, and it was a day really that changed my life. As I said, I graduated high school in 42. I went for a year at NYU before I was 18. When I was 18 years old, and the date was September 6th, 1943, I was sent to Fort Benning, Georgia, for basic training. I had never been that far away. Fort Benning was in Georgia, and we were a bunch of recruits. Most of us were from the North, because when our 17, everybody else had 13 weeks. We had 17 weeks of basic training. Then we were shipped out to the ASTP, which was the Army Specialized Training Program. All the Southern boys in camp went to Harvard, Columbia, Wisconsin, Yale. All the Northern boys, like myself, I ended up in the Citadel, which was the military college of South Carolina. The Citadel cadets fired the first shots in the Civil War, and there was a memorial on the campus to them. I'll never forget February 12th, 1943. We were in class in history, and the professor in a Southern drawl says, "We don't celebrate this terrible day today," which was Abraham Lincoln's birthday. That afternoon, my comrades were throwing down pails, empty pails, and causing a havoc. The commanding general of the Citadel was a major general in World War I, Charles P. Summerall, and he called us all out and said, "You better tell me who did this, or you will all be banished to barracks with no privileges. Obviously, none of us came forward. In fact, after we broke up, there was a large TS sign on the Citadel Memorial. We survived. I was sent to the 100th Infantry Division in Fort Bragg, North Carolina at the completion because the course was terminated because the war was now heating up. I was still a private. I hadn't even made PFC. One day, Captain Fenstermacher, I never forget that name, came to me and said, "Private, they're selecting 12 soldiers to go to Fort Benning OCS. I don't think you can qualify because you're too young and you're only a private. However, go over and see what the test is all about." So I went over there with 11 other soldiers. The first question was, where did General Marshall go to college? 11 of them said West Point. Herman Guy said VMI. I went to OCS. I get back to Fort Benning again with the class of 469. No one thought I would finish up, but you know, at the age of 18, you were pretty strong, so I was able to do all the qualifying courses, the push-ups. I could do 25 push-ups with my right hand, 15 with my left hand. To make a long story short, I graduated. I'm now a second lieutenant, scheduled to go overseas. Went to Camp Macon, Georgia. Went to Macon, Georgia, Camp Wheeler. And from Camp Wheeler, I went to Fort Meade, and we embarked, and then up into Nyack. What was, I forget what the embarkation port was. It was across from West Point, but we went overseas on the Queen Mary, 15,000 of us on the Queen Mary. And the Queen Mary had its gyroscope taken out because of the submarines, and they had to weave every 6 minutes to avoid U-boats. As an officer, we were treated much differently than the enlisted men. The British did not take care of American soldiers very well. I will never forget that. However, we landed in Gourock, Scotland, outside of Glasgow, got on a troop train, went to Southampton. Guess what? They put us on another boat to go to Le Havre. Le Havre is France. And you should see this lieutenant climbing over the rope ladder. I lost my helmet. But we got there. The channel crossing was much more difficult than the Queen Mary crossing because the U-boats were all over the place. When we got to Le Havre, we were told that the Germans had left. The French people in Le Havre were very angry with the Americans because we had shelled them after the Germans had left. Didn't stay in Le Havre long, went to Liège, Belgium, where I was transferred to the 2nd Infantry Division at the tail end of the Bulge. One of the great stories I had is when I was out the first day looking at the troops, somebody smashed my head into the snow and I picked it up. He says, it was my platoon sergeant, lieutenant, at that time, Sergeant Holstein. That's another story. He said, "Lieutenant, Can you look down the road about 300 yards? You see that black smoke? They're shooting at you. So we made a contract. He said, you take over the back of the platoon until you find out which way the bullets are coming from. From there, we traveled very rapidly and we crossed the Rhine River. Yes, we crossed the Rhine River in American. Sailors took us over because the Remagen Bridge was not safe for soldiers after all the trucks and tanks had gone over it. We crossed into Germany on the other side of the Rhine and pushed forward. We had little resistance, but we did have resistance. And we ended up on April 21st in the city of Leipzig, Germany. One day, this lieutenant had two soldiers in a Jeep that he had commanded, and the Jeep ran out of gas. Mark, you got 3 miles to the gallon in a Jeep.
Wow.
The MPs came up, and I said to my soldiers, okay, guys, take off. The MP came up to me and said, Lieutenant, where'd you get the Jeep? I said, we didn't get the Jeep. We're just sitting in here resting. Here are the keys. And we walked away. On April 25th, which was a turning point in my life, we were in the 1st Division, 1st Army at that time. General Patton was in the South in the 3rd Army. He was going to invade Czechoslovakia to terminate the war. Happily, General MacArthur wanted the 2nd Infantry Division to be part of that invasion. So he persuaded General Eisenhower to transfer the 2nd Infantry Division to the 3rd Army. We went down the Autobahn on April 30th. I'm sitting still in Bavaria outside of the city of Domažlice. That is another story, Mark. While I was sitting in my tent, Sergeant comes in and says, Lieutenant, there's a young girl out here who says she's with the Czech resistance. She says she's 13 years old and she's been with the resistance 5 years. Lieutenant, the rifle she's carrying is bigger than she is. I said, send her in. She came in. I said, well, what can I do for you? She said, we were told to take you into the woods, into Domažlice, so the Germans don't see you. We were told they left, but who knows? I said to this young girl who spoke perfect English, how do I know you're for real? She says, here is my password. At 11 o'clock on BBC, they used to announce passwords. She had the password. I went to my company commander, Fred Harries, and exec officer, Bob Gilbert, and said, what should I do? They said, take a squad, don't take the platoon. I don't want to lose all of you if she's a fake. Anyway, we marched through the woods, got to the Domažlice on the 1st of May, 1945. The only thing we saw was German collaborator women with their heads shaven. Went back. Captain Harry said to me, okay, you're the lead platoon into Domažlice. And on May 5th, we went in. Incidentally, the city of Domažlice has made myself, Jim Duncan, and Bob Gilbert honorary citizens of the city. We left the city and headed for Pilsen. We didn't know where Pilsen was, but it was down the road. And when we got there, it was May 7th, and we were told the Germans had surrendered to us. And that was the end of World War II in Europe.
That must have been amazing, Herman, that when you got to Pilsen and you heard that news.
Oh, you have to, there's something else. We were supposed to meet the Russians. The Russians, as usual, got lost. But when they finally got there, they took one of my, I was always in the lead because of my experience in Domažlice. I was told to take a platoon, take a squad, give them to the Russians. They went into a bar. 2.5 hours later, every American soldier was on the back of a Russian. They had been drinking 120 proof vodka. I wasn't allowed to drink or smoke until 21. I was just turned 20 in April. So I had written to my mother and I said, "Mom, we should never fight the Russians because we can't drink with them." We came home, we stayed in Pilsen. And incidentally, as you mentioned before, Pilsen celebrates every year. They close down the city. Now, Pilsen is the home, it was the home of the Skoda Works. They made German tanks and planes. And of course, the Pilsner Brewery, which was our battalion headquarters. We have gone back, I think the first time Barbara and I went back was in 1990. When they celebrated, because after we left, the Russians came in. And they used to say the Germans were horrible, the Russians were worse. But we've gone back several times with family members. This year, we had planned to go with 16. But you know, of course, what happened with the pandemic, we were unable to go. They still celebrate. They had an event, the city of Pilsen. Incidentally, Mark, right across, they've established a Pat Museum. George Patton Waters, the grandson of Patton, is with us all the time. And it's been a rewarding experience for all of us. Got back to the United States. Another interesting experience. We're in Camp Swift in Bastrop, Texas. One day I get a call from the commanding general. He says, "Lieutenant, they're taking three of you into West Point." And I said, "Well, what will I be doing there?" He said, "You'll be a plebe." I said, "General, I just came out of combat. I'm 20 years old. I don't know if I could take the hazing with those kids." "Well, go back to your officers. They're the ones that recommended you." I go back, and Lieutenant Heineman says, they called me Junior. "Junior, didn't you say you went to NYU for a year before you went into service?" I said, "Well, maybe they'll give you credit and you can go in as a yearling." Went back to the general. He looks at me. This is before fax machines, before cell phones, before any kind. And it was still the War Department. He says, "Okay, I'll put your request into the War Department, but I don't think they'll accept it." 2 weeks go by and I'm starting to get nervous. I go back to see him. He calls me, he says, "Lieutenant, you have to go in as a plebe. You'll come out as a major." Now you have to remember, this is before Korea. I said, "General, I'll stay where I am." I ended up in the reserves. Don't ask me how, Mark, but there were 30 of us, part of the 77th Infantry Division, cadre, that was stationed at 30 Broad Street on the 13th floor. I'm one of the 30. The commanding general was Julius Ox Adler, General Manager of the New York Times, Major General, Alfred G. Tuckerman, Brigadier General, President of the Horse Show. The G4 was a guy named Winthrop Rockefeller, one of the five brothers. The G3 was John Lehman, son of Senator Lehman. The G2 was Keith McKesson from McKesson Robbins. The G1 was Willis Terry from Baldwin Locomotive. And then me, I'm the aide-de-camp to General Adler.
That's quite a group, Herman.
It was quite a group. Barbara and I got married on June 25th, 1950. We got out of the hotel and the newspapers boys were hawking. Korea is invaded by North Korea. Americans going over there. Barbara starts to cry and says, "Are you going to get called up again?" I said, "Let's be patient." I call Win Rockefeller the next day. He said, "Tell your wife not to worry. John Lehman and I have seen enough service overseas. We have more influence than the New York Times." So I never went into Korea. Stayed in the reserves. Was on my way to becoming someday a general when I get transferred to the honorary reserves. I come home. I said, "Barbara, did I get anything from the Army?" And she says, "Don't cry, just what happened?" She said, "Well, you got a promotion." I forget, lieutenant colonel or colonel. I said, "Well, what did you do with it?" "Well, it said if you accepted, you would have to be on alert 72 hours. I said, "What did you do?" "I called your mother." My mother told her to tear it up, and that's how I am here today.
Oh, that's great, Herman. That's great. So that was the end of your days in the reserves then?
Well, I was in for 12 years, I guess, altogether. Active duty 3 and 9 in the reserves. Yeah, but I got out. They put me in the honorary reserve.
And then what happened after that? What did you do after you got out of the reserves? When did you move to Westchester?
We moved to Westchester in 1935. I mean, I lived in Mount Vernon. Barbara and I got married, started a family, and we've lived in Westchester ever since. I was a chairman of a zoning board in 52. I was on the hospital board of the Mount Vernon Hospital for about 20 years. And then I was a county supervisor. And then when the board was changed to a county legislator, I became the first chairman. I was very close to the county executive. And I met guys like Ed Crawford, who became your first executive director. Ned Reagan, who became controller of Erie County. John Klein of Suffolk County. Ralph Queso of Nassau. And we had a group. And McCallion made me the executive director of this bunch. I had a bunch of 8. And I one time served as general counsel for NYSAC. And been part of that organization since, I guess, 69. Love every minute of it. And Barbara and I we're still sitting in partial isolation up here in Ormoc.
Well, hopefully, Herman, that 2021 will bring a vaccine and bring us all back together again at our next NYSAC conference, hopefully in September.
Well, we can only hope. And I trust you young guys will know what to do.
Thank you, Herman.
My privilege. Thank you.
Thank Thanks for listening to this NYSAC podcast. Keep tuning in to hear more insightful conversations on county government throughout New York State. And feel free to reach out to our staff if there is a topic you would like to hear us discuss on the podcast.